I asked for an opportunity. This is going to be very brief, just an announcement about the fundraiser that I'm engaged in right now to raise a sufficient amount of pledges that would be able to kickstart the Dean Ahmad for a U.S. Senate campaign. Could you stand up for a minute, Dean? When I say Dean Ahmad, this is who I'm talking about. You can sit down if you like. The reason why Lorenzo and I feel so strongly that he would be the absolute best U.S. Senate candidate for our party at this time, well, there are many reasons, but one of the reasons is that he ran for U.S. Senate back in the 80s, and the fact that he was not allowed to get on the ballot and the subsequent fight that he started as a resulting from that, he was in the he was a plaintiff in the Ahmad v. Rayner case, which unfortunately he lost, but it was the first, you might say, the first shot across the bow in the battle for improved battle access in Maryland, which now we are at the place where we can put a Dean Ahmad or a Mark Gratis or anybody we want on the ballot for any position for which they feel qualified to run. So this would be a historic thing. That's one. That was our first consideration. The second one is that when Carla talked about the kind of campaign that will attract people and attract money, this is the kind of campaign that he envisioned. And he put it out there in a charge to the exploratory committee in such a way that many people who read it said, no way, we can't do this. Forget about it. But I looked at it again and I said, wait a minute. Why not? Why not raise the bar a little bit higher, or a lot higher, in fact, and have a real campaign here in the state of Maryland that will have money, that will have maybe TV ads, that will have our candidate in the televised debates, that will have all of the stuff that you expect to see in a, say, a Carla Howell campaign. I mean, she did it. Why not us? So anyway, I've been looking for pledges. We want to kickstart the campaign with $10,000 in pledges. That doesn't mean we have it in our hand. But I tell you this, this gentleman over here who was at our exploratory committee meeting came here today. He was starting to write a check for $250 because he was ready to give that right now. This was money that he had raised by talking to people, not just his own money. So I think if you can, I have my computer over there where I'm keeping a tally sheet. During the next break, if you can just come over to me and say, I can pledge X amount. I'm giving your name. I'll put it down and we'll see how much we get from this room.
Thank you, Susan. And finally, Bill Ray Pat, longtime friend of the party.
Thank you, Bob. Appreciate it. I just, I'm not running for office in Maryland because I live in Virginia. But I am, I know. Okay, well, but what I, yeah, long form too. But I will be running for internal office within the Libertarian National Committee. I will be seeking the position of vice chair of the Libertarian National Committee in Las Vegas at the National Convention, which is only 9 weeks away at this point. So I hope a lot of you are going to be going out, and I know that's part of the business session is selecting delegates for the National Convention. I was treasurer. I am treasurer, excuse me, right now. I was national chairman. I'm the immediate past national chairman. I served two terms from July 2006 until Memorial Day 2010. The Libertarian Party is the number one minor political party in the United States, far and away, in terms of the number of candidates we run based on ballot access we have and the number of votes they get. The Libertarian Party, in five of the last six U.S. House elections, LP candidates combined for U.S. House have received over 1 million votes in five of the last six U.S. House elections, the exception being 2006. Before the year 2000, you had to go all the way back to 1912 to have a single political party that got over 1 million votes in a U.S. House election in 1 year. Now, I will admit, in 1912, that's a more impressive feat than it is in 2000 or 2010. Nevertheless, this political party has done it five of the last six times. It shows that we have staying power. We've been around for 40 years. We're not going away. I do think that we need to continue to work for changing the electoral system. What really hobbles us in terms of electoral success more than anything else is single-member plurality voting. Single-member legislative districts, person with the most votes wins. That is the big barrier to our electoral success. There are also ballot access laws. There are campaign finance laws. And now there is something developing mainly in the western United States called Top 2. It's already in Washington State. It's already going to be in California. Probably that's going to be another challenge for us to maintain getting a million votes in general elections for U.S. House. In the upcoming general election in California, we may not have a single candidate on the general election ballot for U.S. House because of Top 2 in California. This is no reform. It's simply one more way of people who are in the know, who know how to prop up the two-party system, selling this as a reform to a general public that frankly hasn't thought it all through, in my opinion. And now Arizona. Now they're petitioning in Arizona to try to bring an initiative to the people of Arizona to try to institute Top 2 there. That is just one more challenge that the political establishment in this country, or at least in certain states, is dragging out with the effect, whether they intend for it or not, to slow down the development of the Libertarian Party and, frankly, other minor parties, and slow down or eliminate real, effective political choices at the ballot box for the people of the United States. I intend to fight that. I have fought it. I'm going to continue to work for electoral reform in this nation. I do so as also treasurer of Fair Vote, which is based in Tacoma Park, Maryland, which is in favor of instant runoff voting for single winner elections and proportional representation, which is really important, I think, for us, proportional representation for legislative elections. And I also think that we need to continue to make ballot access a top priority, perhaps the top priority, but certainly a top priority in the Libertarian Party across the United States. I think that one of the reasons I'm involved in the Libertarian Party is not only do I want to spread the idea of libertarianism, and I do want to get libertarian candidates elected. I badly want to do that, even though it's a very difficult road to effect that. One of the reasons I'm in the Libertarian Party is I'm sick to death of the low level of political discourse in this nation. I want to change the political system in this nation. And I highly recommend something. If you didn't see it on Reason.org, there was a column called The Political Cowardice of Barack Obama, written by Stephen Greenhut. But if you haven't read this, Google it or go to Reason.org and type in The Political Cowardice of Barack Obama. It is rare. Given my advanced years, it is rare these days where I see something that really, boom, just knocks you in the kisser. But this does. It was a tremendous column that I found moving isn't quite the right word, but on point, really on point, regarding, this was written after the last State of the Union address, talking about the low level of political discourse, not just from the President of the United States, but from Republican and Democratic politicians of all stripes. And that's one of the things that I think the Libertarian Party is subtly working to change, is putting people out there who address the issues, who do not BS the American people, who do not pass out platitudes to the American people and think that's good enough. But I want to continue to work for ballot access so we can continue to put more candidates out, have more successful candidates, and continue to be the preeminent minor political party in the United States, and work to change the election laws so that we can be a major political party in the United States. And I would further say this to the people going to the convention, particularly people going to a national convention for the first time. Some of it may seem a little dry and boring at times, and a little, you know, the bylaws discussion, the platform. I mean, basically the first couple of days are going to be treasurer's report, adopting the agenda, bylaws, and platform. It's all important. It is all important. The bylaws are extremely important. The platform is too. We're going to get in then. It's going to start on Thursday, May 3rd. There's going to be a reception on Wednesday, May 2nd in the evening. This is at the Red Rock Hotel and Casino in Las Vegas. It is a fabulous place. I was just there for the NatCom meeting in December. Then Tuesday and Wednesday is largely going to be bylaws and platform. Then there's going to be a presidential debate, 6 p.m. Pacific time, 9 p.m. Eastern time. We assume it's going to be on C-SPAN on that Friday night, the presidential debate. then at 9 a.m. on Saturday, when we gavel into session, on the agenda, assuming it's not changed by the delegates, will be the selection of the presidential candidate and the vice presidential candidate. And that will be up first on Saturday. Then after that, we will elect a new national chair, or we will re-elect Mark Hinkle. But the election for the national chair, then vice chair, I'll be seeking that position. Secretary and treasurer, I believe in that order. The five members of the LNC who are at-large members of the LNC, and then the judicial committee. Regional reps will be selected by the caucuses for those regions. Those regions have not been formed yet. They will be formed probably in Las Vegas during the convention, and then they will meet separately, probably after sessions, to elect their regional reps. But it is all very important. I remember the first national convention I went to was when we nominated Ron Paul in 1987. The last day I left, and I'd never been to Victoria, British Columbia. I took a ferry over and back. I just didn't think that the election of chair in the National Committee was important. It is important. The JC, the Judicial Committee, is important because we've had recently two opinions issued by the Judicial Committee that have been very important to the Libertarian Party. And be careful. Try to learn to know who's running for the officer positions and who's running for at-large, because it is very important. I mean, the National Committee meets three times a year. We routinely conduct email ballots between meetings, deciding important matters for the Libertarian Party. And so I just wanted to emphasize that those elections are very important to the future of the Libertarian Party as well, not just the selection of the presidential ticket. So with that, I just would like to ask for your vote. Please, should you go to Las Vegas when I run for vice chair, I would greatly appreciate it. And thank you very much.
I agree with Bill. I mean, the party is definitely growing in membership and in money. The election of the LNC is every bit as important as the presidential and the vice presidential nominations. Next week will be the final LNC meeting. It will be in Orlando, Florida, before the convention. More often than not, it is broadcast on the Internet. I will be putting out a link so you can watch it. It will be all day Saturday and part of Sunday. I urge you to watch it. Find out who the members are. What do they vote on? What are their temperaments like? Can they disagree with others without being disagreeable? Ask other members if you're not familiar with who these people are. Don't ask me because I'm an employee, so I'm not allowed to say. I wish I could, believe me. But there are others here who will give their opinion, so you know, please check it out because it's very important. Let's take a little break, and then we'll have the Central Committee meeting.
Just one thing, especially if you're new or I don't recognize you, if you're a member of the MDLP but are not a member of the Central Committee and choose to be on the Central Committee, please come see me now.
You have to be a Central Committee member to vote.
You have to give blood.
You have to be a resident of Maryland, a registered libertarian, and agree to the pledge.
I have an